Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the local desk, just a note that the Pendleton Artist Society is taking reservations for their spring workshops, a variety that are open to everyone. You can beat the winter blues, unleash your creative spirit. For more information, Kitty Myers at 765-534-4318. Also, numerous events scheduled to remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Anderson University is suspending classes on Monday for a day of reflection and service. They'll hold various service and campus activities and join the city of Anderson in a march to Paramount Theater for the citywide celebration. Indiana Wesleyan scheduled an MLK celebration concert for Friday to mark Dr. King's 86th birthday. Ball State University is observing Unity Week with a schedule of events. Their theme this year is Culture Shock, designed to give new perspective on culture and the practice of inclusion. Details on the campus website. The coldest months of the year are also some of the busiest months for the nation's 18,000 greenhouses and nurseries. This is when they're growing the Easter lilies for April, the geraniums, ferns, and flowers for spring. It's a $17 billion a year business, according to the Department of Agriculture. Those companies include a Central Indiana business, where more than 500,000 geraniums are sprouting this week. Crossroads Greenhouse on the south side of Indy has 6 acres under glass, and there's a twist to this story that we'll tell you about in a minute. But first, Matt Maxwell, the company's manager, showing us around one day recently when the outside temperature was 5 degrees and it was a toasty 72 inside.
By greenhouse standards, this isn't the biggest greenhouse. This is a modest size.
For today's standards, sure, it's small to medium-sized grower.
What kind of plants do you grow here, and how does that change from season to season?
Okay, like now, we are growing Easter lilies, 40,000 Easter lilies. We grow a number of geraniums, spring combination pots and baskets of a combination of different types of plant material, a lot of Gerber daisies. And then we transition into garden mums, which are sold in late summer, early fall. And then poinsettias, which most of the facility is full of poinsettias, and that goes until, just before Christmas time.
What's happening in February in a greenhouse like this?
You're gearing up for the spring season, which is the big majority of your business, or most growers' business would be the spring season, basically March through May. And so in February, you're really gearing up with production. You're doing a lot of transplanting, a lot of spacing. You're filling your greenhouses up. You're getting ready to be full, usually by March. And so you're really in production time of the year, not so much shipping yet.
Tell us about the different kinds of plants that you have here. For example, you grow lettuce here, hydroponically.
We do. It's kind of on a small scale, kind of still in the experimental phase. But we produce this hydroponic lettuce that's really kind of geared for the supermarket, that kind of market. And it seems to, we can produce it. It seems like it's a good product. It just has to get out in the marketplace a little more.
How's that lettuce grown?
It's a plant that is constantly being supplied with a fertilizer solution where the fertilizer level is at a level for optimum growth and also flavor and pH as well. And that's how that is grown. And from seed to a finished head of lettuce that we ship is approximately 7 weeks or so.
What are some of the other plants that you grow here, and talk about them a little bit? You have a lot of ferns here, for example.
Yes, we grow a number of Boston ferns and hanging baskets. It's a very popular item in this market with the spring flowering baskets that people buy. Again, we take advantage of this facility being under glass and our savings with the methane gas. That's what ferns like. They really want warm temperatures and high light during this time of the year. We take advantage of this facility, so we produce 25,000 fern baskets here.
How many Easter lilies will you grow?
40,000 pots.
When we look at those now, these are very young plants now, right?
Right.
What, talk about the stages these plants go through.
Okay. We receive a bulb about maybe a little smaller than your fist, first week of December. And we pot those into pots, and then we grow them on. We grow them on until really the shipping is about 2 weeks before Easter, which this year, Easter, I think, is April 5th. So we get them, we time them. It's all about timing, temperature. You really follow a schedule, and you've got to stick to a schedule of temperatures and really just timing to get this crop right. It all goes out in a week, basically.
You mean these 40,000 plants, you move them all out in 1 week?
Pretty much a week to 10 days, right. That's right, that's correct.
There's a lot of timing in this.
Yes, and these we receive a bulb that has been grown into in a field in Northern California. That's where they're produced. One small area where the climate is just right, and they're grown actually out in the field, and it takes 2 or 3 years to get a bulb the size that we need to produce a plant where we'll have, you know, 5 to 7 blooms on it, let's say. So now, you know, it's a crop that takes from early December until, you know, you're looking at probably 4 months or so on average to finish an Easter lily crop.
When we look around here, we see these plants that look like they're on big tables, and the big tables look like they're on rails. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, we're looking at a system that allows us to move that bench or that table anywhere we need in the greenhouse. So we're able to move the crops around. That's a big savings.
These are like tracks, and the tables are almost like rail cars moving on these tracks, and you can move them anywhere in the building.
Right.
You can push them all together, right?
Yeah, well,
to
we
save
can,
some room or...
We can get the product to the greenhouse and then get it back up to the shipping area relatively easily. Instead of handling each individual product, we've got a table full, and that really helps the efficiency of the greenhouse for sure.
Can you talk about when you first started in the greenhouse business and how things have changed since then?
I started in the mid-80s. At that time, there were a lot of real gardeners around, and a lot of our products in the spring and summer were planted in the ground. Now, as time has gone on, things are a lot different nowadays. I think we sell our products to decorators more than gardeners. And you see a lot more products in containers on porches and patios and decks. And I think it's gone to more to container gardening and much less time in the yard in the ground with our products. That's what I've seen dramatically change over the last 30 years, 25, 30 years or so.
Does it seem as if there are fewer gardeners than there used to be of the people who would?
Right. Yeah, I think fewer gardeners, but maybe more decorators.
That's Matt Maxwell, manager of Crossroads Greenhouse, 6 acres under a gleaming glass roof about 2 miles south of the center of Indianapolis. The weather outside may be frightful, but inside it's nice and warm. And they're growing 25,000 fern baskets, 40,000 Easter lilies, and more than 500,000 geraniums as a wholesale supplier to stores across the region. I mentioned it's nice and warm in there, and the reason can be seen just outside those windows. Right next to Crossroads Greenhouse is the looming 325-acre Southside landfill. What's a greenhouse doing next to a landfill where 3,000 tons of trash is dumped each day? That's straight ahead.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Matt Maxwell, I'm the manager of Crossroads Greenhouse. We're a 6-acre greenhouse, commercial greenhouse, under glass. In other words, 6 different environments within the 6 acres. We're 2.5 miles southwest of the city of Indianapolis. We're located near a landfill, because we use methane gas that's naturally produced by the landfill to heat the greenhouse. It's a fuel source. And that's why we're located in this kind of an industrial area near the center of the city.
There's a real difference inside and outside, right? Inside you have these green plants, and outside you have a big old landfill.
Right, that's correct. The landfill it's a quarter of a mile away or less now at this point, but we're not actually on a landfill. We're near it. and the gas is pumped over to our location.
How does that work?
In a landfill, trash, garbage naturally decays. It creates methane gas that they need to get out of a landfill. And a greenhouse, one of your second biggest costs would be heating, a fuel source in this area of the country. So it's just a natural fit to, you know, a place to sell the methane or to use the methane would be a greenhouse instead of versus natural gas or fuel oil.
So you have a landfill, roughly what size? I mean, it's large,
yeah,
right?
It's a pretty good size.
Been out there for decades.
Yeah.
And
right.
As the garbage decomposes, methane gas is produced.
Right.
And this is tapped and it's piped to you and some factories around here, that sort of thing. There are other customers besides you.
It's run through a process before we receive it or before anybody receives it where the gas is dry. There's a lot of moisture in methane gas. That's just the nature of it. And that moisture is removed. So we're getting a gas that can maximize the BTUs out of it. And 25 years, it's worked fantastic here. I mean, it's been pretty much 100% reliable for us.
Do you have to supplement that with gas from the gas company?
No, we do not. We have, of course, we have a backup. We use fuel oil as a backup in case there was a problem with the gas and we'd have
You wouldn't want to risk your whole
product. It's like having a generator as well. You know, if power goes off and it's zero outside, you need electricity, you need heat in a place like this.
So the gas comes here, then what happens?
Then we have two boilers, and the gas then is the fuel for those boilers. And the system is a hot water system, so hot water circulates through that boiler into the greenhouse and then back. And it's
like a radiator system.
Exactly.
Through these white pipes that we see that go through all here.
Yeah.
We're seeing what looks like railings, which are almost the tracks that the tables go on, and then along with that, the pipes that carry the warm water that keep the plants warm.
Yes.
And I believe as you touch that feels like you wouldn't want to, it's warm, but it's not
burn
your hand.
No, not now. I mean, the system's probably not calling for a whole lot of heat since the temperature in here is pretty close to where it needs to be. Now, as it gets colder and it's automatic, you know, and the temperature and the water temperature will go up, depending to try to maintain a certain temperature that's set in the computer.
So Central Indiana experiences a real cold snap. It gets down to -7 degrees, -10 degrees.
Right.
That doesn't threaten your plants in here because you have all of this heat.
Right.
Greenhouses, the concept is, allow you to grow plants during the cold weather months.
And, yes.
And do they all use a system like this, boilers, hot water, that sort of thing?
Many do, but there are other systems as well. There are forced air systems. This is probably the best, most efficient, most ideal system to have would be this.
You've been recognized, or this facility has been recognized as being, you know, sort of a green facility, right? You're taking what maybe in the past would have gone to waste and you're making other use of it.
Right. I would say it's recycling at its best. You have trash and garbage coming in, and this is where you need to take it, to a landfill. And that trash and that garbage is producing this. It's producing these flowers.
Matt Maxwell, manager of Crossroads Greenhouse. It's a beautiful place filled with hundreds of thousands of plants under 6 acres of glass, but right outside the 325-acre Southside landfill, where 3,000 tons of trash arrives every day on lumbering trucks tilting their cargo onto the ground. It turns out that as the trash decays, methane is produced, and the landfill captures that gas, cleans it up a little bit, and sells it to nearby companies like Rolls-Royce, the jet engine maker, and the Crossroads Greenhouse. As they say around here, this is an operation that turns trash into beautiful flowers.
I'll be waiting in the garden in time.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
This is a nice place to work, isn't it?
Well, it's just you're in this facility here, like today, for instance, it's zero outside, or I don't know, 5 degrees. It's sunny, but in here, you feel like you're in a very nice, it seems like you're outside and you wouldn't have any idea it's that cold outside. It's that kind of environment in a greenhouse like this. You know, it's just wide open. you can see what you're doing. You can watch the progress of the plants and watch them grow. And it's just, it's really in my blood. It's what I enjoy to do and have for many years. It's like you're doing something, you're making something, you're producing something, and it's all changing all the time. You're different crops and different seasons. So it's really not boring at all. I mean, there's always something different going on and something different to do, and a wide range of jobs here that we do. It's something different every day, and you know, a wide variety of things.
Is there something relaxing about being in here, being around plants?
I think so. It just, I don't know exactly what that is, but I think
people,
there is something
to that. People like
to
have plants around their house, and it's more than just how they look, right? There's something.
Well, plants give off a lot of oxygen, so maybe that's part of it, you know. And, you know, I don't know exactly what that is, but I think there is something to that for sure.
How did you get started in all this, Matt?
Back in high school, I worked at a little greenhouse after school and in the summer times and on Christmas break, spring break. And I just, I liked it. I could see doing this in the future. I could, at that time, you could see a lot of potential. And I thought, well, maybe this is something I will do and I'll try and see. And, you know, this is what I've done. And it's my natural talent, I think.
Is there a part of this job that's your favorite?
Growing the poinsettias in the fall time, it requires a lot of patience to grow that crop. You gotta be very patient with the poinsettias and not, well, growing in generally, but especially poinsettias. They're a long-term crop. We start them in July, grow until, you know, mid to late November, and you gotta be patient. One day you might come in and say, oh, this doesn't look right or that doesn't look right, but you've gotta just say, hey, hold on, just wait a minute, let it go. And I like that crop. I like that time of the year in this area of the country for sure. And so the poinsettias just kind of match along with that. So that's my favorite.
You don't just set them and forget them. Talk about what you do here to look after your plants.
You know, you'll walk the aisles here and you'll check these plants. You'll look at them, you'll observe them. You'll also check the root system. You'll kind of, in your mind, okay, this is what it's going to look like and what it's supposed to look like. And you kind of know what kind of area, how much space they're going to take up, and what it should look like. You kind of visualize where these plants are going to be next week and the week after. And then, you know, that's just through years of experience and knowing the plants and your operation to your environment. At times, there are a lot of different jobs to do with the plants. You've got some plants, you actually pinch them so they branch. Other plants, I mean, all plants will need space, and sometimes more than one time spacing them. And then we have a schedule, you know, fertilizers, and you got to make sure they're free of diseases and insects.
This requires patience.
Yeah, I think it requires a lot of patience, for sure. If you're not patient, I don't think you can do well in growing, really. I mean, you'll be overreacting. One day you'll want to do this, the next day that. The plants, yeah, they don't want to do it. Sometimes you just got to let it go, too. Sometimes the decisions you make, you just have to live with them.
As we walk around here, are there things that you're noticing as you're walking around that you're thinking about, that you're on the lookout for?
I'm feeling the environment. When I'm walking through, I can feel, I don't even need to look at the thermometer. I could probably tell you what the temperature is and I'll be pretty close just from the feel of it, from, you know, experience. And, you know, I'm looking at plants, I'm looking for insects or diseases or potential problems, scheduling the crop, where are we at? Where do we need to be? Those kind of decisions. Okay, what do we need to do now? What's next here? What do we need to do with this crop? Those kinds of things, and that's a pretty much a daily basis.
There's a cycle to all of this.
Right.
Early in the year, you're getting ready for springtime.
Yeah. When we start off, a lot of plants are close together, whether it be in a pot already, like the Easter lilies, or seedlings that are sown close together in a tray, or cuttings that have been stuck and for to get roots on them before we transplant them and spread them out. It starts off like that, and as time grows on, we'll space everything. Things will be transplanted and grown. The plants will get bigger. They require more space. And so what you see at some point, like in February, will basically fill up the whole greenhouse.
All of this spreads out in February as the plants need more room because they're growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get a break in this business?
Yeah, for sure, and it seems works out good. It's kind of a good rotation if you're used to this type of business. Usually by June, we're pretty much on the downside. So the summer, you know, we're producing some stuff, we're cleaning up. So you have some downtime in the summertime. And then with poinsettias, you've kind of get them going. They sit there, you get them spaced, they sit there for 6 or 8 weeks and you're watering and fertilizing them, but there's some time there. And then around Christmas time, you have some time there, which works great. I mean, that's just a good time to take off and, you know, vacations and, you know, time with your family. And so it works out really well.
In the dead of winter, your geraniums are just getting started.
Yes, that's right. We'll get a cutting in. They'll come from Central America, a 2-inch cutting, basically just a cut off of a geranium, I'll say stock plant, which just is a large geranium with a number of shoots on them. We'll get a plant that's maybe 2 inches long, and that's it. It's just been wrapped in plastic and shipped up from Central America. In 2 days, it's here. We'll take that cutting, we'll stick it into a rooting media. It's a cube, basically, let's say 1 inch by 2 inches tall. And that plant will begin to develop roots. We'll mist them, we'll keep moisture on the leaves. And within 2 or 3 weeks, that plant's rooted out and ready to transplant.
And as I went walking, I saw a sign there. And on the sign, it said no trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me.
Matt Maxwell runs Crossroads Commercial Greenhouse on the south side of Indianapolis. On the day Heather Hunt and I were there, it was 5 degrees outside and 72 among the plants, including 25,000 fern baskets, 40,000 Easter lilies, and more than 500,000 geraniums. It may be cold out, but Easter is April 5th. Spring is not far off, and the nation's greenhouses are getting ready. I thought you might find that a little encouraging. And the extra angle here is that Crossroads is actually next to a huge landfill and is heated by the methane tapped from that neighboring mountain of waste. By the way, we now do Indiana Weekend on TV, too, so watch your listings for WIPB in a few weeks when we'll have a tour of Crossroads. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion or a thought. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from FlexSteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.